Good evening. I'm Stanley Black from the Economics Department, and I'm going to cover some similar aspects to what has been discussed before, but also try to lead us in a direction that may find a way to revive our financial markets. Now, let me start off by, the problem that we're looking at was actually foreseen. And it's a shocking thing to think that it was well known to some really important people. Ned Gramlich, who is was the late Ned Gramlich, was a governor of the Federal Reserve Board and actually a friend of mine and former classmate. He had been warning Alan Greenspan since 2002 that the subprime crisis was going to blow up. He published a book just before he died in the middle of 2007, which I recommend to everybody. Nouriel Roubini, an economist at NYU, who produces something called the RGE Global Monitor, you can find it on your web, has been predicting this for several years. So this is not a surprise, really. Maybe the magnitude is a surprise, but the fact that it was happening is not a surprise. Alan Greenspan knew about these warnings, and he ignored them. So did the government, and so really, they deserve a good share of blame for this. Now, subprime mortgages were, many of them, set up with adjustable rate mortgages. And as we know, the low interest rates of the early 2000s soared in 2006, and that jacked up the payments for many of these people who could not afford them. And the housing market came to the end of its boom, and housing prices started falling, as was indicated earlier. And, as it was pointed out earlier, 20% of the mortgages that were made in the year 2006 were subprimes, up from only 5% 10 years earlier. And as I understand, 40% of all the mortgages that were made in 2006 were actually for either second homes or for speculative purchases. So this was a speculative boom that was really out of control. As a result, we've got lots of homeowners whose house prices are now lower than the value of the mortgage that they've got. And so there is a serious problem with foreclosures. Now, as was pointed out about the mortgage-backed securities, they were rated highly by the rating agencies when they were divided up into these tranches and when they were over-collateralized and when credit default swaps were written appearing to insure against the risk that they might default. But the defaults are happening now, up to the rate of 300,000 in the month of August, according to the data that I've seen. And there are up to 1 million foreclosed properties in the United States for sale right now. So this is, the housing market is in crisis. The housing market crisis has spilled over onto the financial sector because it was riding these securities, and they are coming back to bite it. So Bear Stearns was sold to J.P. Morgan. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the two largest creators of mortgages in the country, were nationalized effectively by the government without compensation to the previous owners, by the way, and Lehman Brothers was allowed to fail. And these things have thrown a huge shock through the financial system. As a result, credit markets have frozen up, and the spread between LIBOR, which was explained as the rate that banks use to lend to each other, and the Treasury bill rate, which is the safe rate, went up to 4.5 percentage points. That was an extra insurance premium the banks were charging each other for a loan because they were afraid that the other bank might not be around. Now that has fortunately come back down to where it's only 2.5 percentage points, 250 basis points for the experts. But it's still way above the normal 1% level. So what has been happening to the real economy? That's what we haven't heard so much about up to now, and my job is partly to tell you a little bit about the real economy side of it. So we know the housing market has been in decline since 2006, but that's spilling over onto the rest of the economy. For the entire year 2008 so far, purchases of consumer durables, such as automobiles, refrigerators, and so forth, things, furniture that go into houses and or require credit for purchases, that's been falling for the whole year of 2008 so far. Business investment has been declining, and industrial production is declining. Employment has been declining throughout the year 2008. So we are in a recession. And the question really is, how long and how deep is this recession going to be? And I think the outlook is not particularly good. The unemployment has been rising since 2007. And, of course, this is having its effect throughout the economy. This is broad-based. This is not confined just to the housing sector. Banks are failing not only in the United States, where we've had Washington Mutual, Indy Bank out in the Indy Mac Bank, I think it was called, out in California, and but also in Europe and Iceland. They had some banks that had very expansive businesses that have failed and had to be nationalized. So we really have, this is a global problem. The stock market crash is not just happening in the United States, it's happening globally. If you look at the decline in stock market prices in Latin America, in Asia, in Europe, in the United States over the past year, they're all down 30% to 40%. So this is a major and unfortunate event. So my view about the recession, Richard was saying what he thinks it's going to look like. I think it's going to be like 1981-82, up to 10% unemployment, which will last for a year or so. That's my outlook. That's my hopeful outlook. That's what I hope it will be no worse than that. But given we've had this kind of trouble, what do we need to do to restore our credit markets? And it seems to me the problem here is that we have lost trust in our financial markets. Not only we have lost trust, but the whole world has lost trust in our financial markets. And financial markets have to exist on trust, the basis of trust. After all, what they sell is pieces of paper, right? And these pieces of paper are no better than the promises of the people who promised to pay you back. So we need, and they have violated those promises by selling us bad paper. So our financial markets are in trouble. What we've got to do is figure out a way to get that trust back. Now, I've been thinking about a little example of, suppose I loaned my brother-in-law, he's long deceased, so I'm not going to insult anybody in particular here. Suppose I loaned my brother-in-law $10,000 to pay back a medical bill that his wife, my sister, had incurred for something, serious problem. And suppose I found out that he took that $10,000 and went out and lost it in a poker game or at the racetrack or somewhere like that. I would lose trust in him as a reliable character. How could he earn my trust back? Well, he might do it by saving up the money, first of all, to pay back the debt up to the hospital, and second, to pay me back. So you have to earn it back by responsible behavior. And it seems to me that regulations are going to have to be set up to enforce responsibility and accountability in our financial markets, since they have not proven capable of doing it on their own, as Alan Greenspan realized at long last today. So I have two suggestions. One is that mortgage makers should be required to retain a share of the mortgages that they may want to sell part of it on later. That was suggested earlier, I believe, by somebody on the panel. And secondly, I think the credit default swaps writers, the people who write these insurance policies on the loans, the mortgage-backed securities and other kinds of loans, they should be required, like other insurers, to hold reserves, as it has been All they've had to do is write the insurance on these loans and collect the premiums, the revenues. It's as if you were an insurance company that were writing flood insurance on houses along the Gulf Coast from Texas to Mississippi, and we're just not going to worry about the possibility that a hurricane might come up. So you're just going to hope the sun keeps shining, in other words. They should be required to hold reserves if they're going to write that kind of insurance. And secondly, the buyers of this insurance should be required to hold the underlying security that's being insured. You shouldn't be able to buy a gamble on the idea that Ford Motor is going to go default on its securities unless you own those securities, because otherwise it's just a casino. And I think that's going to... So these are my proposals, and I'm sure we'll hear more ideas as we go into further discussion of this.